The Summer Day by Mary Oliver. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? What do you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Today, Ash Wednesday, is one of the most straightforward and direct days in the church. I think that's what compels many people to come out for this service in particular. It's authentic. It's genuine. And it's straightforward, the message, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. You even receive a reminder of that upon your forehead this evening. Being reminded that our days on earth are limited, I know for me at first can be sometimes paralyzing. What will I actually be able to accomplish in my limited days? If you start thinking about it, it can be anxiety producing. I know for me it can lead to excess. Let's get it all in while we can. It can drive me to despair. How much I've squandered and misused the hours, the days, the time I've already had. But then I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul. And those words in the letter he wrote that we heard this evening. Paul was this man who'd been living his life in a certain way, his numbered days. He'd been living for himself. And he'd been living in defense of a certain way of life. He fought for it in a way that not only dishonored others, but actually took their lives. Paul was a man who harmed and killed for self-gain. And then Paul discovered a life-altering truth, that God loved him anyway. God loved him anyway. And this man, Paul, was the last person who should ever have deserved God's grace and forgiveness. But this man we know today as one who was literally struck down and then lifted up by God's forgiveness and grace. And after Paul realized that he was utterly beloved of God no matter what, his life was never the same. And God, through the person of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, refined Paul's life into an unforgettable one that has shaped our Christian story. What do you plan to do with your one wild and precious life. Most of us come to a day like today because we desire more of God or more of goodness and love in our life. We want these coming days to reveal to us something of the hope and glory and promise of God. We're going to receive those ashes on our foreheads this evening. And tonight I want you to imagine something about those ashes. Think right now about some of the regrets you brought into this room this evening. Think about someone you've hurt. Words that should never have been said. Things done. Things left undone. What feels uncontrollable? God loves you anyway. God forgives you. And God wants to lead you into life. God, through the person of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to refine your life into an unforgettable one that shapes the Christian story. All those things for which we'll soon ask for God's mercy in the Litany of Penitence, the regrets, all those things that came to mind for you. I want you to imagine that God is taking those things and burning them to ashes. And what we find emerging out of those ashes is who you really are. Your true self in God. Paul urged us today, be reconciled to God. How do we reconcile those things that take us away from the heart of God? One of the best definitions of sin that anyone ever taught me is when we are focusing our attention away from God. That's when we sin. And salvation, reconciliation, that's what happens when we direct our desires toward the heart of God and allow God to transform us ever more into the image of God. Tonight, allowing God to burn away those regrets, those hurts, those pains, those sorrows. That's how you shift your focus toward God, or just make space between you and God to be able to see more clearly. It's how you discover your true self in God and encounter what God is calling you to do with your one wild and precious life. So here today, first and foremost, God forgives you. And you are worthy of being fully alive. And God is asking you in the midst of all that you've brought into this place today, what do you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? I mentioned on Sunday some verses in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. It's about how we are to follow after Jesus if we are to know the way to real life. I want to read those words, a paraphrase, once again. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me, and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way to finding yourself, your true self. What good would it do to get everything you want and to lose you, the real you. Many of us have a tradition of starting today with some kind of a spiritual practice or fast. I know there have been many years I have taken on a fast or a discipline, and I haven't really rooted that fast or discipline so much in turning my attention to God as I have making it about self-improvement or self-help, giving up chocolate to lose a few pounds, classic. Fasts that aren't about God but are about us. So here's those words from the 9th chapter of Luke that may be more familiar to you. Then Jesus said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." What are you led to do if you put Jesus in the driver's seat? And what might Jesus be leading you to give up or take on this year as a spiritual discipline that really is rooted in God transforming your life? How might the real you after these 40 days of Lent emerge from the ashes of this day? What do you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? This is a deeply personal thing. It's the kind of thing to which most can't casually commit. And it usually takes, because of this, asking God to help reveal what's going on deep inside and then responding to that. And then allowing God to burn away the things that are not really of God. And that process can be painful. Arriving at your true self, or even just getting glimpses of your true self in God, it's not without grief, because you're saying goodbye to the false self you've known to and clung to so much. But the way of the cross is the way to life. So here's some help for us as we move forward into Lent. 3 simple phrases you can take with you to remember and return to. I can't. God can. I think I will let him. And it actually can look like giving up chocolate for Lent, but in a way that allows God to cover you with the refining grace that reveals a truer version of you. What do you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Any fast you take on, any intentions you have set for these coming days, may they ultimately be about getting closer to the heart of God so that you will be able to fully live. I can't. God can. I think I will let her. What if today you simply started by allowing God to forgive you? And if you maybe started by believing that through receiving the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, you might live into the fullness of that forgiveness and be fueled for the sake of not only your own life, but for the life of the world. I can't. God can. I think I will let God. May we let God lead us to live. Amen.